The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
My name is Jennifer Powell. I am a columnist with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Today, I will be reading about how less sunlight means more risk of relapse and disability for those with MS. Reduced exposure to sunlight, previously reported as a risk factor for developing multiple sclerosis, also seems to increase the risk for relapse and worsening disability, data from two clinical studies suggest. The beneficial effects of sunlight exposure were linked to increased levels of vitamin D, but also modulation of immune pathways, including the type 1 interferon response. The study, Sunlight Exposure Exerts Immunomodulatory Effects to Reduce Multiple Sclerosis Severity, was published in the journal PNAS. Low exposure to ultraviolet B radiation from the sunlight, which results in a defective synthesis of vitamin D, have been suggested to increase the risk for developing MS. However, it remains a matter of debate whether sunlight and vitamin D levels also influence disease severity and progression. In this study, researchers in Germany assessed the impact of two independent measures of sunlight exposure, vitamin D levels and latitude, on MS disease severity. Also, they assessed whether the effects of sunlight exposure were modulated by medication or variations in the gene coding for melanocortin 1 receptor gene, which plays an important role in the color of the skin and consequently sensitivity to sunlight. MC1R signaling also has immunosuppressive functions and a protective effect in mouse models of MS. The team reviewed data from patients previously enrolled in two studies, the German National MS Cohort and the French BioNOT Cohort studies. Overall, the group from the MS study included 908 patients with clinically isolated syndrome or relapsing remitting MS who had not received prior treatment. The BioNOT group included 808 MS patients, the majority of whom had received treatment. The most common treatment given to more than half was interferon beta. In both groups, researchers confirmed that patients living in lower latitude areas had higher levels of vitamin D. In agreement with prior reports, patients in the BioNOT group treated with interferon beta had higher levels of vitamin D compared to those who had no therapy. In the German National MS cohort, higher latitude was linked to significantly worse disease severity as measured with the MS severity score. The risk for gadolinium-enhancing lesions also increased by 8.31% for every degree increase in latitude. GD-enhancing lesions are also visible on MRI scans of the brain, indicate areas of damage in the central nervous system as well. In the BioNet study, higher levels of vitamin D were linked to lower MSS disability scores. However, in a first analysis, no link was found for the increase in latitude and MSSS scores as observed in patients from the German National MS cohort. Since certain patients in the BioNOT study were given interferon beta therapy, researchers assessed whether the missing effect of latitude was due to the confounding effect of such treatments on vitamin D levels. Indeed, further analysis showed that the effect of latitude on disability depended on the interferon beta treatment status. Increasing latitudes were associated with worsening disability in patients given therapies other than interferon beta, and while this association was not present, among interferon beta-treated patients, they were present among the other group. Researchers then looked at whether vitamin D and latitude affected the risk for relapses and disability accumulation as measured by the expanded disability status score. The analysis revealed that higher vitamin D levels were associated significantly with reduced risk for relapses and disability accumulation. Lower latitude also was linked with a reduced disability worsening, but not associated with a risk of relapse. The researchers then analyzed whether patients carrying genetic variants that lowered the activity of the MC1R gene, hence an increased sensitivity towards sunlight, modified the sunlight impact on MS severity. For patients carrying a genetic variant that increased their sensitivity towards sunlight, the risk for GD-enhancing lesions increased by 20% for every degree decrease in latitude, when that risk decreased by 11% in non-carriers. In an exploratory analysis, they went on to evaluate how phototherapy with UV radiation exposure modulated gene activity in immune cells. The cells had been collected from blood samples of MS patients that participated in a pilot study. UV radiation induced vitamin D production and activated type 1 interferon genes, providing a protective effect. Overall, our study suggests beneficial effects of sun exposure on established MS, as demonstrated by a correlative network between three factors: latitude, vitamin D, and disease severity, the researchers wrote. However, for photosensitive patients, such as those carrying certain genetic variants in the MC1R gene, sun exposure might be detrimental, the study concluded.
Coming up next, perspectives from MS News Today columnist Ed Tobias.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by Ed Tobias, MS Wire. Car repairs aren't easy when you have MS. I love the car I drive, but I've hated to go to the dealer to get my car serviced. In the 4 decades that I've lived with MS, my walking has deteriorated to the point where I use a scooter if I have to walk more than 75 feet. If I do walk, I need to use 2 canes and wear a Bioness L300 Go electric stimulator to counter my foot drop. My problem at the dealership has been twofold. Firstly, standing at the service counter to fill out paperwork takes a toll. Then, I need to walk about 50 feet and climb 6 stairs to reach the service department's waiting room. I could use my travel scooter and ride up a ramp, but getting the scooter in and out of the car and using it for such a short distance is a nuisance. It's good for me to walk a little once in a while, but it certainly isn't easy. So after buying a Lincoln for the first time, I was delighted to discover that Lincoln offered a free loaner car with, get this, pickup and delivery included, the service available to all owners and lessees of 2017 or newer models. It wasn't a slam dunk, however. The first time I tried to use the service, the person making my appointment wasn't aware of it, and it was more trouble than it was worth to find someone who was. I took my car to the dealer, walked, and then waited for it the old-fashioned way. But I also used the time waiting to locate the appropriate person at the dealer. That made all the difference the next time I needed the service. A much better car experience. When I made my next appointment, I was armed with a name and phone extension of the person who arranges loaner cars and knows about what Lincoln calls its concierge service. It required only about a 5-minute call and my license and insurance information. "We'll bring you a loaner car," I was told. "It'll be there at 9:15 Tuesday morning, and the driver will text you when he's on the way." He did. 10 minutes later, the driver was handing me a single piece of paper to sign and the keys to the car. Then off he went with mine. The reverse process took place the next day. very slick. Now, I know I'm very fortunate to be able to afford a Lincoln, but this type of service could and should be available to anyone with a mobility disability. What would it take for people with a handicap to lobby all of the car dealers we use to do the same thing that Lincoln is doing? It seems as if the good publicity this will generate would offset the small cost of this type of service. Another kind of door-to-door service. Many people with a handicap have trouble getting to medical appointments. They may not have access to a car, and sometimes mass transit may not be available to them. A couple of years ago, I wrote about a company called Circulation, now called Motive Care. It's among several businesses, including Round Trip and Kaizen Health, that use web technology to coordinate patients, healthcare providers, and transit services. A patient is picked up, taken to a medical office, and returned home. Medicare, Medicaid, and some private insurance companies may pay the cost of the rides. Some of these ride coordination companies have forged associations with Lyft and Uber to obtain discounts. If you're missing healthcare appointments because of a transportation problem, you should look into these services. Also, it couldn't hurt to ask the person who services your car about pickup services.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.